Psych Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. It's no secret that women's inequality is still a significant issue in our society. Many point to the statistics that women still earn less than men for doing comparable jobs.
It's also a fight that members of the U.S. women's national soccer team have now officially taken to court. Five members of the team, including stars such as Hope Solo, Carly Lloyd, and Alex Morgan, have filed a wage discrimination action against the U.S. Soccer Federation with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
The filing cites figures from last year's Federation financial reports, noting that despite generating nearly $20 million more revenue than the men's team, the women are paid about a quarter of what the men earn.
The women's national soccer team has been tremendously successful in recent years, winning the 2015 Women's World Cup, the most watched soccer game in U.S. history. Yet the team only received $2 million for that finish compared to the men's team, which brought in $9 million for finishing in 11th place.
While Title IX was a big step forward, there are many other persistent issues for women in sports, from viewership and ticket sales to sponsorship deals, leading many to wonder what the remedy might be.
It's a question sports contributor Sean Ranft attempts to tackle with our Audrey Nowakowski. And Ranft starts by noting how the women's soccer team is justified in their suit and the larger debate about women's roles in sports.
I mean, they absolutely should file a suit. And we were talking about this earlier. I know there are intelligent ways to discuss the whole revenue sharing prospects of this. Obviously, federations, corporations, whichever, they're not going to pay out money that isn't there. But when the discrepancy is $30+ million for winning your sport's biggest event, global event at that, that seems to be an issue. I'm not saying, of course, they can throw $30 million that way, but there has to be more than $2 million. Was that what the winnings were for the women's national team? There has to be more than $2 million to give out to the player pool for winning the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, and last year they generated $20 million in revenue.
Yes.
More than the men's
team,
actually.
And in World Cup years, obviously, the revenue is going to be higher for both sides, but people also can't just use the it's only higher for the World Cup this time. It's like, well, yeah, but it's always going to be higher in every cycle for each gender in the World Cup years. That's just how it works. You can't just use that as a convenient way to say, oh, well, they don't deserve more now because they're only playing in a World Cup. That's why they're getting the money. It's like, that's not a good argument to make. Like I said, there's intelligent ways to talk about it, and just dismissing it because it was a World Cup year makes no sense. And their current collective bargaining agreement, I think it ends this year, and that's something they really need to do a better job with the next time. But again, they're always going to be negotiating from a disadvantage because that's just how people in general view women's sports and women athletes. And people, you know, say they don't care as much and they don't make as much money. And the people who do care as much, they need to show that, but it shouldn't be a discrepancy of $30 million. Or in terms of friendly exhibition matches, the women make a little under $1,400 for winning a friendly, a player bonus, that is. And the men currently and through 2018 make $5,000 for losing.
For losing
an exhibition match, they make almost $4,000 more than the women for winning a exhibition match. I don't care who generates more revenue there. You can't tell me that there isn't a few extra $1,000s from U.S. soccer to kick out to the players for that. You just can't. I mean, you can technically tell me that, but that's complete crap.
Right.
There's another number here that the men's national team, regardless of the result of World Cup games, gets a little less than $7,000 per game. And for winning, they get anywhere between $9,000 and $17,000, while the women, according to their current CBA, make significantly less than the men's team, regardless of result, again.
And I think in addition to just this lawsuit bringing monetary equality, but there's also the question of facilities, transportation, like whether they're staying at a Motel 6 or, you know, a far better hotel. But also, mainly, it's the difference of playing facilities. Men get to play on grass. Women play on artificial turf, which is actually worse for their bodies and will just ruin things over time, wear and tear, in a far quicker span compared to men playing on grass. So do you think, if anything, money can be adjusted and negotiated according to the various funds? Obviously, you said if the funds aren't there, they can't make money appear. But when it comes to playing facilities, do you think this lawsuit could at least secure playing on grass?
An allotment of funds for equal playing facilities?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the U.S. Soccer Federation. They have money. Obviously, the bonus pool for winning a World Cup for the men, the $30-plus million, they probably won't ever have to worry about paying that out in my lifetime. And, you can't tell me that they can't just pony up some extra cash for grass, for facilities with grass, for World Cup events to play on all grass fields instead of the...
Make it the standard,
the most,
so it's
the most
not
recent World Cup for the women was played on artificial turf. There's just no reason for that to be an issue.
And if anything, do you think that proves that the female soccer players are better athletes and more adaptable because they have to play on artificial turf, and yet they still, you know, maybe if it's considered a disadvantage to play on that turf, yet they have succeeded far more than the men's team?
Well, they have, yeah, absolutely. That's I wanted to make a joke before, and maybe it's not even a joke. Maybe it's something that could be looked at that would anger that section of the internet or humanity in general.
Sure.
Where why not, with how poor of a product the men's team continues to churn out the last few years, at least since the 2014 World Cup when they exceeded a little bit of the expectations, why can't some of that revenue pool, that player bonus pool, maybe, I'm not saying give it to the women's team, but maybe give it to charity, give it to something that isn't themselves. They're already making a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll anger several, and maybe that's not the right way to do it, but the fact that they get paid so much more
to
put out a lesser product, regardless of their competition, I get, oh yeah, they're playing the men's teams, and if the women's teams play the men's teams, it's like, but that's not how it goes. You can't make that argument. The women play the women, and the men play the men, and the men that the U.S. bring out are worse than the other men, while the women that the U.S. bring out are better than the other women. And it's not even close to fair. And I definitely think when it comes to the artificial turf, they're more adaptable. They have to put up, and just in general, they have to put up with so much more just discrimination, just in general. They are told day in, day out that they don't have a place here, that nobody cares, that, oh, if you're not pretty, it doesn't matter. And the men don't have to deal with that. If, you know, the worst thing a male soccer player usually has to deal with is if they exaggerate a fall or something and it's talked about for a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the worst part usually is they're called a cheater. And, I mean, you always have a section of people calling them field fairies, but that's people who don't care about the sport in general anyway and who, you know, we don't have to give them more than a second of our time. But I feel like I could talk about this in circles, and
right,
I would just start repeating myself here. But
well, unfortunately, that is the case, and just kind of broadening it from soccer to all sports that women either play or are involved in some way, the argument that women's sports just are not as entertaining, you know, the argument that men are putting up, as you mentioned, oh, if you're not pretty enough, we're not going to watch. Oh, women athletes aren't as good because they're afraid they're going to mess up their hair.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're going to break
one.
A nail on the
it's
field,
like, yeah,
or something.
I'm sure they really care about that.
Exactly.
When they're out there competing at the highest level they can, mm-hmm, against whatever sport it is, be it tennis, soccer, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the least of their concerns.
Probably. And do you think just maybe from the beginning, I mean, obviously, it's been an uphill battle in history in general, but with sports, because there is not as much money invested, there is not as much interest. Do you think in a hypothetical perfect world, if women's sports were on the same footing financially as men's, with the promotion, with the facilities, with attendance in games, that it would be just as interesting? But because people aren't investing their time and interest, that they can't catch up?
In a perfect world, it would probably be almost as interesting, because still people would at the end of the day say, oh, I don't care, they're just women playing sports.
Right. And another thing that, if anything, gets people even more riled up is when women infiltrate the blessed realm of ESPN and sports commentary.
How dare they have an opinion on sports?
Exactly.
How
and
dare
most,
they break it down?
How dare they have an opinion about it and or have an interest, maybe have more knowledge than other men in their perspective fields?
Yeah, that's a bold claim.
Yeah.
I don't know if people will be on board with it, but...
And yeah, lately, Jessica Mendoza, she's a female baseball analyst for ESPN now, their first full-time female. And despite being on the women's national softball team, being an Olympian, gold medalist, I believe, still she is not qualified to talk about baseball.
Nope.
And
apparently
this
not.
Has sparked such, you know, angst isn't even the right word. It's a much more deep-seated, it's such a lashing out from other sports commentators, not just the public in general.
Yeah, that's the best part. Best part being, you know, obviously figurative. But male sportscasters who get bent out of shape about this or you know, even some professional players who don't think women have a place either in the booth or there was an issue last year with the NBA hiring a female official. There was a comment made that maybe this isn't the job for her. It's like, no. You know, it's a job for anyone. Doesn't really matter which gender. And with Mendoza, it's she's not good enough, A, because she's a woman, or B, because she played softball, and that's not baseball, or C, she's never played the game before, so she doesn't get to talk about it, which the majority of analysts, even if they're play-by-play color commentators, a lot of them haven't played the game before.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of those folks are male, obviously. And the ones that have played the game before usually only get those jobs because they've played the game before, because a lot of them are not very good. And I don't think I'd be very good at analyzing baseball as it's happening. But there's a lot of male athletes who just retire and fall back into a broadcasting job. And just because you're good at professional baseball or even maybe semi-competent at it doesn't make you a good analyst. And with Mendoza, now the excuses are, well, I just don't like her voice, or, or, you know, again, with she's not attractive enough to me, or, you know, other sexist cliches that we trot out there whenever we don't like, whenever a woman is talking about sports or anything that we are interested in, because they apparently can't do that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, in your field as well, being an online sports writer, and just being immersed in the internet in some form every single day, you see a lot of not only feedback, but lashing out of either if it's different sports writers or just people, especially on Twitter. That seems to be the platform.
Twitter is the worst.
Yeah, for, you know, throwing your glove at someone, you go on Twitter to challenge them. And what do you see every day as a writer, but also just observing other female writers in your field or just comments about these issues about women in sports in any kind of capacity?
Well, especially lately with Mendoza, obviously, and with there were comments made the last couple days by a male manager that we'll get to in a bit. Every day this happens, and every time any woman, be it a sports writer or just a woman on Twitter, talks about it and brings up how this shouldn't be happening anymore and how this is an issue, all I see is, you know, the same vitriol. Oh, go back to your hole. You're ugly. Like, that has nothing to do with an opinion. You don't get to talk about it. You've never played before. I've seen death threats and people report it to Twitter support, but nothing is ever done about it. And in that vein, there was an account set up to show the amount of disrespect that women, sports writers and women in general, receive on Twitter. And that account was banned by Twitter last week for a day. It was suspended for a day because of their avatar, which was a red Twitter bird. It looked evil, apparently, and someone complained about it. And that got them suspended. But the stuff you see on a daily basis about people going after women and calling them, you know, they use the terrible feminazi term all the time. They threaten their lives. This is, you know, again, they call them unattractive in a much more disgraceful way than that. It has no place anywhere, but people think they can get away with everything because it's the internet and you're relatively anonymous. I mean, people can look at your profile and report you, but that does nothing. And yeah, every day. The worst I get as a male sports writer is, oh, you're not intelligent. or, hey, you're just defending them because you want to get with them or something, because that's, you know, being nice to people on a daily basis or just, you know, showing them common courtesy is obviously an ulterior motive for hooking up with someone or dating someone, or I don't even know what the logic is there. This morning, another woman was attacked first by a guy on Twitter and was trying to explain to him why this is wrong, and then he blocked me for getting involved, because on a public place, apparently that's, you know, frowned upon when people disagree with you and you're being casually sexist and mm-hmm. you don't care about it. But the account that is there for showing women being disrespected, the next several tweets of his was him basically talking to his buddies saying, well, and then all these people attacked me and after they disagreed with me, and I hate when people just chime in on a debate when I was talking to someone. It's like, that wasn't a debate.
Right.
There's no debating there. You came into the conversation. You insulted how she looks to you. You told her that it's an inoffensive comment, that people shouldn't get all bent out of shape about this stuff, and so on and so forth. And sorry, guys, as a guy also, we don't get to say that. We don't get to tell someone what they can and cannot be offended by, especially when, for women in sports in general, for years has had to deal with this kind of ruthless aggression and sexism. And it's not getting any better. It's getting better that more people are calling it out, and it's something that I need to be better at doing, and it's something that I challenge everybody to be better at doing. But it's not getting any better. If anything, people are just getting louder now because they're getting some pushback finally. And this quote floats around whenever this sort of issue pops up, but it goes, when you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. And this happens in every facet of life, but specifically right now, it's women in sports. Finally, they're you know, defending themselves and pushing back a little bit, and a lot of men can't handle it. Their fragile little egos just can't take any sort of criticism that is actual criticism, not, oh, I think you're ugly and you should stop talking.
Right.
Because that's not an argument or a debate. That's just you being a piece of crap. So, yeah, next time you say something stupid or sexist or slightly insensitive, just think, is that how you would like your mother, your grandmother, maybe your daughter, or even your sister to be treated? There's only one correct answer there.
Yeah. So. And going on the lines of privilege, you know, when it becomes equality, feels like oppression. Do you think that any athlete, regardless of gender, should be paid so much in the first place? Do you think we wouldn't have these problems if all of these athletes were just paid, you know, what possibly we would consider a normal living wage? And, you know, they're getting millions of dollars. It's like, at what point do you notice an extra million versus getting paid $800,000?
Right.
Or, you know.
Right.
There's so much money in professional sports.
So much money.
You know, do you think if we took that factor away that the playing fields would be more level?
Oh, probably. That's something that would have had to have been done ages ago, though, because if you did that now, that would never fly. Mm-hmm. Which I can't fault people who get paid tens of millions of dollars for, you know, suddenly being told, oh, by the way, we're going back to this flat system now. I'd be upset about that too. But in general, it's always laughable to me how much money athletes get paid. Obviously, a lot of these athletes, well, all of these athletes, professional, regardless of gender, are the best of the best at what they do. Very specialized skills, very specialized abilities. They should get paid a lot for their field and all that. I certainly couldn't do 99% of the things these people do. But when you see contracts like, oh, he'll be making $40 million a year, or it's like from the sport alone, it's always funny to me. And that's just the way it's set up now. And with how much money baseball makes and the NFL make now as opposed to 20, 30 years ago, it's astronomical, the differences. So yeah, obviously, if athletes all got paid a lot less, this maybe wouldn't be as much of an issue. But then, of course, you'd have the issue where if it was too close to what, let's say, women got paid, then people would be freaking out about that, because there's always something to be mad about when it comes to the gender discrepancy. There's always going to be something where like, oh, they should be paid more than this because this is, I watch this. This is more exciting. And again, like I said, there are intelligent ways to discuss revenue and revenue sharing and just coming out and shouting that, oh, they're women, so they should be paid less is not one of those ways to go about doing that. I'll defend till the day I die that the amount athletes make is laughable. Unfortunately, that's where we're at now. Not unfortunate in a sense, oh, they don't deserve to be paid, but it's just getting out of control. In a couple of years, there's going to be the discussion, oh, who's going to get the first $500 million contract? That's coming. That's very soon, and at least $400 million. And Bryce Harper, who's 4 years younger than I am, is going to be the one at the center of that conversation. So not that he doesn't deserve to be talked about in such a high regard, because he does, but $400 million to play a game. I mean, come on. People can't make a living wage going to work 5 to 7 days a week. I'm not saying they should be paid $400 million. I just feel like with all the money in sports, it's just laughable to then turn around and say to other people, oh, you just need to work harder. Or to women, oh, you just need to work harder. It's like, that's not what it is at all. It has nothing to do with that. So it's just completely different worlds there.
Well, and despite the evidence that, for example, the U.S. women's soccer team have worked harder and have won more than the men's, still hasn't made a difference.
Yeah, they still win, regardless of the competition that everyone likes to talk about only when it's convenient for them to talk about it. They beat their competition. The men consistently do not, and have kind of been stagnant for several decades and aren't showing any signs of getting any better. So again, you can't make that convenient argument where it's like, oh yeah, well they play, you know, better teams and blah. That doesn't matter. They play the teams they play and they lose. Mm-hmm. The women play the teams they play and they win more often than not. They have 3 World Cups. The furthest the men have gone are the quarterfinals. They probably won't win one in my lifetime. That's not even a jab. It's very hard. It's very hard for any national team, women or male, to win their World Cup when it comes to paying out bonuses for exhibition games or even World Cup appearances. I'm not even saying, hey, you got to throw them a couple million bucks. Just a few thousand would level it for that, at least. A few thousand. It's the U.S. soccer has that kind of money. Just, it's not, it shouldn't be that difficult. And if it is that difficult, come out and say why you're doing it. Just be honest, because we all know you're going to hide behind, you know, oh, they don't make as much money or generate as much interest. And it's like, yeah, but you still have a few thousand bucks to kick around that you're not just because. No one can tell me that that's not the case, so.
Right, well, despite our best efforts to perhaps convince the U.S. Soccer Federation to do so, I guess we just have to wait and see what will happen, and I look forward to having you back to discuss whatever developments come next.
Oh, yeah. I'd be more than happy to.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks again.